Blog Talk Radio.
Internet world, and welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and saying thank you once again for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on the broadcast. Today is Thursday, April 22nd, 2021. I'm continuing on my in-depth, detailed, chronological study of the Book of Revelation, and if you've missed any of the previous podcasts and need to catch up, I'll be posting them on my Facebook page so that you can sort all of those issues out. Today, I'm continuing on the study. Today's study is asking a question: what happens at the end of the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period? Again, what takes place? What incredible events happens at the end of those first 3.5 years of that 7-year period known as the tribulation period? Last week, we opened up Revelation chapter 6, and the second seal, the red horse of war, came onto the scene. And in that study, we culminated with the battle of Gog Magog out of Ezekiel 38. There is a difference I want to point out between this battle and the final battle of Armageddon in Revelation 16. This battle of Gog and Magog, I believe the scripture teaches, will happen in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period and not the end. The one that we talked about last week, Gog and Magog, the king of the north and the king of the south coming up against Israel, took place on the mountains of Israel. And there's a difference. The Battle of Armageddon takes place in the Valley of Megiddo on the mountains of Israel. Just wanted to point that out to you. Now this week, we're going to continue on opening the Revelation chapter 6 judgment seals. Last week was the second seal. And in order to get our study going today, I'm going to be looking at Revelation 6 for just a couple of minutes. Revelation chapter 6, verses 5 through 6, the third seal. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil in wine." So there will be a worldwide famine with the unleashing or the opening of the third seal, and the black horse comes out. Now you can understand when the Antichrist implements the mark of the beast, that economic seal that will be on your hand, right hand or forehead, it's because you can't buy or sell without that mark and with this worldwide famine going on. most people will hesitantly and reluctantly take that mark just to stay alive. Revelation 6, verses 5 through 6 talks about this worldwide famine. In verse 8, the fourth seal, when that is opened, it is the seal of death, and the green horse is unleashed. One-fourth of the earth's population at this time has been killed. That includes what happened in the war with Gog and Magog in Israel. So what we have seen so far is Revelation 6 is really beginning to unleash the judgment seals upon the earth. Now let's turn now to the 12th and the 13th verse in Revelation 6, the sixth seal. There's a reason we're skipping the fifth. We'll get back to that later. John says, I looked, and when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of air, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. So the sixth seal is unleashing God's wrath. Remember in Revelation chapter 6 is corresponding with Matthew's gospel, Matthew 24, this very important last teaching of Jesus before his crucifixion. We call it the Olivet Discourse. Remember when the disciples asked, what will be the sign of your coming? One of those signs was earthquakes, the sun turns black, the moon becomes blood red, and there's a meteor shower. There is cosmological disturbances in the atmosphere. We call it cosmic disturbances. And that's what's taking on at this part, at this time in the tribulation period. Now, pay attention. We're going to really hit upon the theme of our study today. There is a great war in heaven at this time. And Revelation chapter 12 is going to explain to us what's going on. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Verse 10, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come, for the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. Very important, significant event here in the last 3.5 years at the end of the first part of the 7-year period called the tribulation period. Satan has had access to heaven. He's called the accuser of our brethren. Isaiah chapter 14 talks about Lucifer being cast down. It's a corresponding chapter. Here in Revelation 12, we see at this time, at this mark in the tribulation period is the time when Satan and his angels will be cast down out of heaven. That's very important. These angels, these fallen angels, will play a very important part later on when we come into the bold judgments. We'll look at that. But there is this war in heaven, Satan, Michael the archangel. It occurs near the end of the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. Satan, it says in verse 12, knows his time is short. He knows his destiny. He knows what's eventually going to happen to him. He understands his time is short. What does he do? Verse 13 of Revelation 12 explains that he pursues the Jewish people right away after being cast down. Why does he do that? He wants to wipe them out So God cannot fulfill the promises to his chosen people. And you know, of course, he won't be successful. No plan of God can be thwarted. He is the sovereign, omnipotent God of the universe. So Revelation 12 is very pivotal at this time in the tribulation period. Revelation 13, verse 11 says also that the false prophet will rise up out of the land. And I want you to understand something about the term land here in Revelation 13. It's referring to Israel. When you see the word land, it refers to Israel. So we know the false prophet will be a Jewish impersonator. Because the Antichrist, remember, in Revelation 13, is pictured rising up out of the sea, the beast out of the sea. Now, the sea, in context, refers to Gentile humanity. And that means that the Antichrist is a Gentile, while the false prophet is a Jew. Revelation chapter 17 explains that the Antichrist, who forms and supervises this coalition of 10 nations that we've talked about so much here on the broadcast, they're going together to hate the false church. Revelation 17 says the false church is located in Rome on the city with the seven hills. And verse 17 says that God puts it in their hearts. And also the leaders of these 10 nations, they will hate and destroy this false church. So this false church that has this great global cosmic ecumenical movement where the Antichrist shows great favor in the beginning, in the end, the Word of God says in Revelation 17:17, God puts it in his heart. What does that say to you and me? It means that the heart of the king is in the sovereign hand of God, who turns it any way he wishes. Just on a side note, most of us today, conservatives, are just enraged that Biden has become president and all of these liberal policies are being implemented that will change our American Constitution, our American nation, into a socialist dictatorship eventually. And we think, why God? But here we see in Revelation 17:17, that in the tribulation period near the very end, God puts it in the heart of the Antichrist, meaning the Antichrist can't do as he pleases. Joe Biden can't do as he pleases. He's under the sovereign control of our omnipotent God. And at this time in the tribulation period, he says to the Antichrist, hate the false church. The leaders of the 10 nations, hate and destroy them. And that's exactly what he does. After that, if you're following chronologically, after that event, the Antichrist leaves Rome. And now he goes back to Jerusalem, to the Temple Mount. Remember, he supervised the rebuilding of the third temple. And he walks right into the Holy of Holies, the rebuilt temple, Holy of Holies. And the scripture says he commits the abomination of desolation. What's that mean? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, Daniel chapter 11, verse 31, and Matthew 24, 15 says he goes into the temple, the rebuilt temple, and declares himself to be God and demands worship. This is that point of the tribulation period, where this man of peace who brought Israel and her neighbors together now shows his true colors. He begins to attack the Jewish nation. And one of the things he's going to do is to go after the two witnesses who have had an incredible ministry in Jerusalem since the very beginning of this time period. And they have converted 144,000 other Jewish people, all virgins, all dedicated evangelists preaching the gospel of the kingdom worldwide. They've been very successful, but again, there is a change in the program. And we're going to read it right now in Revelation chapter 11, verses 7 through 13. When these two powerful witnesses finish their testimony, the beast that is the Antichrist, that ascends out of, the false prophet that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them, and their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom in Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. So the false prophet and the Antichrist together put an end to the ministry of the two witnesses. Then those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not allow their dead bodies to be put into graves. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, make merry, and send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. However, after the 3.5 days, verse 11, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on all those who saw them. It will be a worldwide event. Satellite TV, everyone in the world will see these two witnesses rise from the dead. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them. In the same hour, there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell. In the earthquake, 7,000 people were killed, and the rest were afraid and gave glory to the God in heaven. Well, what's going on here? Really important. The Antichrist, the false prophet, kills the two witnesses, verse 7. Verse 8 and 9, their corpses lay in the street for 3.5 days. The world rejoices over their deaths, verse 10. After 3.5 days, the two witnesses are resurrected. Worldwide TV will carry that event. Verse 12, they ascend into heaven while the whole world watches. It's only possible through the technology we have today that the whole world, as Scripture says, watches this. Verse 13, a giant earthquake kills another 7,000 people. Again, it looks like the Antichrist, the false prophet, the beast system has prevailed, but these two witnesses are resurrected, and the judgment of God falls on the Antichrist and all of his activities. I want you to see how important it is to know that God is in control. Well, after this event, the Antichrist takes off. He goes to the city of Babylon in Iraq, the literal city. It's at this time in Revelation chapter 13, verses 14 through 15, that the false prophet tells the earth dwellers, make an image to this beast. Show your allegiance. Show your worship. And he causes this image, Revelation 13 says, to speak. It's demonic. It's creating an atmosphere for worshiping the Antichrist. And verses 16 through 18 of Revelation 13 says, at that time the false prophet implements the mark of the beast, the economic mark, 666, which is the number of man. So we have the Antichrist now. The mark of the beast being implemented. He goes to Babylon. It's the political headquarters of the Antichrist since the false church has been destroyed, and he will conduct activities now in Babylon. The last thing I want to share with this here is Revelation chapter 12, chapter 6. We now see at this time that the fifth seal is opened. In this fifth seal, John the Apostle sees the souls that have been martyred who refuse to follow the Antichrist. You know, the Antichrist may receive, if you quote and understand, worldwide attention, but there will be those who refuse to follow him, and those will be the tribulation saints. John sees the souls that have been martyred and who have refused to follow, and they ask, how long, O Lord, before you avenge our blood? And they're given robes to rest for a while. And now, Revelation 6, verse 14, is a very important break in all of the activity. There is an interlude of silence in heaven. Well, what is that? That's an interesting verse. Well, it's because at that time, Revelation 6:14, God is showing all of us, the church, the ones who have been raptured. He's showing us the horrible judgments yet to come in that last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And the reason that there is silence, because we are all in shock and awe at what will happen these last 3.5 years. There will be great war, tribulation, and judgment. And I think right now I want you to listen very carefully to this song. It's an appropriate song that's depicting everything I've been talking about this morning that will happen at the end of the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. This is a song by Petra. This Means War. Let's listen. That is Petra. This Means War. And we've been speaking about the war in heaven that will take place at the last part, the end of the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, when Satan and his angels are cast out of heaven. It goes without saying that as you look around us, we see war. We see unrest. We see lawlessness. We see fighting, killing. It seems like that there's no end to the evil and the war all around us, but the Bible tells us about this war, Ephesians chapter 6. We're to do something about it. We're to put on the full armor of God because we war not. It's very important. We war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities of powers and spirits and of wickedness in high places. It says that our warfare primarily is not against flesh and blood. That means it's spiritual. That means that there are angels, there are demons that we are warring against. And what do you think it's going to be like at that last 3.5 years? There will be a tremendous war. But in the end, and this is very important, we read it in Revelation chapter 12. They overcame him. They overcame who? The devil, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. That's what overcomes Satan. That's what overcomes his activity. That's what puts a halt to his deception, when we are trusting in the authority, the power of the gospel, the blood of the Lamb, the word of our lips is a force that the devil cannot reckon with. And if Christians really believe that and understand that, then we will have victory even now. The church, Jesus says, upon this rock I will build my church, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's how powerful the gospel is. That's the authority, the might, and the power that God has invested in his church. And we who are his Christians, his followers, his children, have access to that same authority. They overcame him, the Bible says, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Well, today, on the cross in the desert, we have taken a very graphic look at what will happen at the end of the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. We have seen how desperate Satan is because it says he knows his time is short. Why do you think there is so much unrest and lawlessness in this culture? In a nutshell, he knows his time is short. And when he is finally cast down from heaven, at this point in the tribulation, the Bible says he turns his attention to Israel because the church is gone. The church age is closed. His attention will be to destroy the Jewish people so that God cannot confirm his promises to his chosen one, but he will fail. What does that mean? The book of Revelation says at the end, we win. We are victorious because God is a God of war. He is a warrior, and he fights, and what he does, he wins. All of these judgments have a purpose. Today, I want to thank you so much for taking time to join me on the broadcast today. I want you to have a very safe, good weekend because Monday morning, we will do it all again right here on the cross in the desert. God bless you. Have a great weekend.